All right, Jabo, say good morning. Let's begin. So first of all, our Mesilas Yesharim Shir is sponsored this morning by Moshe Dvorah Wordesheim in commemoration of the art site of Libby Wordesheim, Libba Bas Zusha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Neshamo have an aliyah. Shkoyach for the sponsorship. So we left off on page 26. So the section begins, Lama HaMelech HaYetzahara Yoser Chazak Me'amalchus Shal HaNeshama. So why is it that the king, the Yetzahara, is stronger than the king of the Neshama? Remember again, the image that Rav Kashtiel created was that there are two warring factions, right? There are two warring monarchies. There's the king of the Neshama, there's the king of the Yetzahara. And the king of the Yetzirah, ultimately, the way his malchus is really predicated on one basic idea, which is that each of us is a melech, and each of us should have whatever makes us happy in life. And existence is all about making me comfortable and all about, you know, enjoyment and pleasure, versus the melech of the neshama. The melech of the neshama says, no, life is not about me, but rather life is about what I could do for the other. Life is about how I can give, be a giver, not a taker. Life at the end of the day is really all about how I can make a difference within this world. So these are the two warring monarchs that are literally battling for the territory of my neshama. So the Shadar of Kashtiel writes, so why is it that the Yetzihara always seems to have the upper hand? Right? Why is that? What's the pshat? So look what he writes. This is actually an amazing insight. He says, "Mechivan sheyetzer hara, hu harishon, hu hazokin." So the point that Rav Kashtiel makes over here is: remember, how is the yetzer hara referred to? He's referred to as a ksil, as a fool. Remember, he's not referred to as a fool because he is foolish. He's referred to as a fool because what he advocates for is foolish and ultimately takes away from our true ability to accomplish in life. But yet he's also called a zakin. He's also called old. So why is he called old? Because he is the one that occupies the territory of my soul first. The Yetzirah gets there before the Neshama does. He already takes hold of me even before my Neshama comes into me. How so? He literally already comes into me from the moment that a person exits the mother's womb. Literally the Yetzirah, from the moment that a child is born into this world, there's a whole discussion, interesting discussion, about Torah says by Rivka Imenu when she's pregnant, the children were struggling within her. So Rashi HaKadosh quotes the famous Medrash that Yaakov and Esav are already struggling in utero. She'd pass by a place of Avodah Zarah, Esav would struggle. She'd pass by a place ultimately of monotheistic worship, Yaakov would struggle. So the Maharal and Rav Kook both have these discussions in terms of what does that mean? Meaning this idea that you don't have a Yetzirah until, or for that matter, a Yetzirah Tov until you come into this world. So Rav Kook has an interesting approach where he explains that really Esav and Yaakov are the embodiment of good and evil, and good and evil can't occupy the same space. That's really what's happening. Not as much a conscious struggle between the boys, as much as, again, a struggle between ultimate good and evil that cannot occupy the same space. The point that Rav Kashtiel is making over here is we get our Yetzihara the moment we come into this world. The first breath we draw of this world, we inhale an Yetzihara. That's from. Yet the neshama doesn't come until much later on. This is amazing. So the first time you begin to get a little bit of like a shtick Yetzirah Tov, a little taste of what the Yetzirah Tov is when you become bar mitzvah, 13 years old. Barak begil esrim himamish midaber es elecha. And the truth is, you know when you really get your full measure of your Yetzer HaTov? It's when you become 20 years old. That's why, Kimo Shatora Omeres, Mi Ben Esrim Shana Vamala, Kol Yotzei Tzava. It's an amazing statement. That's how the Pasuk says, from the age of 20 years old, that's when you go out to war. So everybody thinks, he's quoting this, he's, by the way, this is how you see this concept, by the way, in Hasidus. The Nesiva Shalom writes this idea that 20 years old, go out to war, is not just about physical battle. But 20 years old is where you really engage in the battles of life. Sha'az ata kvar b'shai bagrusecha. There already, again, you're at the height, you're at the pinnacle of your youth. Az ata kolet es hametzius b'tzura yoser me'uzenes. So I'll say at the age of 20 is really when I begin to really experience what it really means to have the Yetzer Tov. Which also, just interestingly enough, you'll notice that the age of personal responsibility, because remember, we know the Gemara says that Beis Din Shalmala, right, the heavenly court does not punish someone until the age of 20. So this is interesting. So you're only held accountable. You're only held accountable for your actions once you have your full measure of your Yetzer HaTov. But I will say, but what do you see from here? You see from here, the Yetzer Hara comes to me when the Yetzer comes from the moment that I'm born. And the Yetzer HaTov really only comes later on in life. Either, again, maybe I begin to get it when I'm a bar mitzvah, but I really only fully get it when I'm 20 years old. As haneshama mofia etzlecha b'tzura shalema yoser. Then Rabbi says, only at the age of 20, when now I go ahead and I have this full measure of both forces, the Yetzer Tov, the Yetzer Hara, then my neshama operates, you know, on all six cylinders. Because now, again, I have both influences. Yesh b'chad sad, yoter idealisti. I have one, on one hand, again, one sad that's very idealistic. Yesh b'chad nechonos, lid og lezulas. Specifically, I have the ability to think about the other. I have the ability to think about and to contemplate the other. When I go, so once I see it, before I define that last line, so what Rav Kashtiel is explaining over here is, again, you want to know why the Yetzer Hara has a greater grip on us sometimes than the Yetzer HaTov. It's very simple. It's not because he's stronger. It's because why? He's older. He's older. Such a fascinating idea. Because the truth is, the Yetzer Hara has been with me at least 13 years longer than my Yetzer HaTov. He's just much more embedded, much more entrenched. But I also have the ability, once I begin to gain this Yetzer HaTov, again, 13, 20, whatever point in time, I have the ability to really allow the Yetzer HaTov to really be a dominant force. How does he express himself? Through an idealism, through a living life for the other, through the ability to go ahead and think about the other. When I go ahead and I give from my time to the other, do chesed with the other, that ultimately represents the manifestation of this Yetzer HaTov. We'll say last section, page 26. Hakrav hu al hatoda'a, hashita inzman. So what does this mean? Yesh po krav. We'll say there's a battle. There's a battle that happens within each of us. Va'krav hu ala todo'a shala adam. So we'll say literally, the battle is for the personality of man. For the personality. What is my essence? It's a battle, literally a battle for my soul. Right? But it's a battle for my soul that manifests itself in who and what I am. Hamilchamahi mashma mistovev berosh kal adam umi berosh. The milchama, the war, at the end of the day, is who is going to play the dominant role in the formation of my personality, who is going to play the dominant role in ultimately creating who I am. Page 27. Hashita shel hamilchama. So now that we understand the struggle between the Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer Hara, we understand that although they're both kings, but yet the Yetzer Hara, although he may be a foolish king, he's not foolish because, again, he is foolish. He's foolish because he makes us do foolish things. But we also understand that he has the advantage that he's the Zokin. He's the elder of the two and therefore the dominant of the two. So how is he so successful? It's very simple. Hashita shalom l'chami hilomar ein zman. The way the Yetzer Hara works, well, so you've said this many times, is that he does not tell me to sin. Because you see, sin is a one-off thing. Right, let's say the Torah gets me to sin. So what? You know, of course I sin. We all sin. We're individuals. We're human beings. The Ribbono Shel Olam created us with frailties. That's not his strategy. He has a strategy of ein zman. The strategy of the Yetzer Hara is there's not enough time. There's not enough time. Lama? Ki ayetzer omer lecha kol hazman sheyesh hari harbe ma'ala haspik ba'olam. So what does it mean there's no time? So the Yetzer Hara says, because there's so much you have to enjoy in this world. Es ze lo old lo achalta. Right? Again, I haven't gone to this restaurant yet. You know, I haven't partaken of this food. Es ze olo shasisa. I haven't had this particular drink. Lekan od lo tayalta. I haven't traveled to this destination. Yesh lecha od harbe mala haspik. Va'atolo me'udchan b'chol kach harbe dvarim. Ato lo b'inyorim. In zman. So it says, what does the Yetzer Hara do? So you have so much you still have to enjoy. I have so much I still have to experience. There's not enough time to be able to do everything. Therefore, by definition, I need to put my focus on how much enjoyment I could acquire for myself. Tzarech la'avod ulechapes es hachidushim ha'achronim. In zman, I have to really push myself to explore all of the new pleasures and all of the new different things I have not yet experienced. And therefore, again, there's not enough time. In zman l'klum, there's not enough time for anything else. Also, you understand, of course, there's nothing wrong with enjoying the things that he's mentioned in this paragraph. The problem, of course, is that when those enjoyments become the very purpose of existence, when life becomes about the new restaurant, when life becomes about the vacation, when life becomes about the new drink, that's when I get into a problem. If those are things that I just enjoy, but they're not the focus of my life, that's fine. The problem is when the Yetzer Hara says, come on, there's so much you have to do for you. So much I have to do for me. There's not enough time, there's not enough resources to worry about anyone else. We'll say one more line. Zushitas hanitzachon shel hamelach zaking. This is the shita, this is the approach, this is the strategy of the old king. Zekimosha haye paro shaya melech egotist. Or egoist. Gamor. This is like Moses in Yonim Dioma, right? Parashat Shmos. This is exactly what Paro did. Paro was an egotistical king. Paro harasha. Sheshibet kama milyone anoshim. It was saying, we understand there were 600,000 men between the ages of 20 and 60, which is, if you do the math, it must mean that there were at least 3 million Jewish people. Paro is going ahead and enslaving all of them. Omer liatzmo, ani amelech, yesh po koach avoda, sheaschilu laavod, osi, yesh mali avodim, v'chol achalomo shali, b'tor melech yizkashmu. So what does Paro say? Paro says, the world is about me. Everything is about me. Remember, again, Paro even had a bigger problem. He thought he was a god. It's not just a question of being egotistical. He pushed ahead like a god complex. He thought he was God. And everybody else thought he was God also. Well, if that's the case, I'm mamish the melech, which means everyone is here to serve me. It's supposed to, you have to understand something. So how is it that a person comes to throw babies in a Nile? You ever wonder about this? Just from a human perspective, how does a person ever, first of all, think up an idea like this and ultimately execute an idea like this? So you could tie into anti-Semitism. Maybe that's true. But it could be that there's also something much more profound. When life is all about you, when life is all about me, if I'm the melech and life is all about meeting my needs, if something does not meet my needs, then what? Then what? It's worthless. It's worthless. It has absolutely no value in this world. So if that baby is going to pose a risk to my malchus, then by definition it has no value. It's absolutely meaningless, and therefore I could do whatever I want. Let's just end this last paragraph. Elo sheish bayo. Ki berege sham yisrael yaschil lachshov, ki sheyihi alahem zman lachshov, heim yacholo lehit argein biyachod ulehiskomeim. Yesh lahem hamon koach hamon nashon. So we'll stop over here for today. But remember, again, we saw this earlier in the Sefer, and the Ramchal himself quotes this idea. What was Paro's strategy? Remember again, at the end of this week's parasha, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Paro with discussions about redemption. Right? Discussions about redemption. So what does Paro say? What does Paro say? He says two words. The two words are, Tichbat ha'avoda. Tichbat ha'avoda. Let the work get more intense. What's the pshat? Because when Moshe Rabbeinu comes with discussions or dreams about redemption, Paro says, oh, they have time to think. And the moment that people have time to think, that's where people could get dangerous. Because the moment you have time to think about it, to contemplate your life, I could actually do something. I could actually accomplish something. If you have time to think, we have to stop that right now. Tichbat ha'avoda. And we'll see the Ramchal of Kashtil will explain the Yitzhara, the Melech Zokinu Ksil employs the same exact strategy. tichbad ha'avoda. If you could stop people from thinking, if you could stop people from contemplating, then by definition, you stymie and you stunt all of their future growth. So we'll stop over here. We'll pick up with this tomorrow.